Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And my guest, Dr. Rennie McLean, has got the most significant key for you to understand. I can't wait for him to mentor you. But Rennie, I want to start you out, and we'll go to that revelation and prophetic word you received from heaven about our currency. But before we go to that, I would like to know two things. Number one, how you recommend people worship at home. And then number two, because you're at a different level than a lot of people, how you worship at home. But for the people that are just starting in that realm, what would you recommend they do at home?
The first thing I say to people is this. Number one, worship is also a discipline. There's a certain time of the day where I will, you know, just cut off from people. I don't even take phone calls. I don't, you know, my wife knows I don't talk. And I literally just, you know, I'm just, as people would say, in a zone. And I just worship because that's part of my discipline. And then there's times where, you know, throughout the day, I'll just burst into a new song. You know, so I'd say the first thing to encourage people, first of all, it's a discipline. No matter what you're going through, you give God first place in all things. You make sure you give your worship. You make sure you sow to the heavens in your worship. That's number one. Number two, don't just be rigid with it. You know, have a set time, but then be spontaneous. You know, David said it like this, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon me, I will dance. And then there's times, you know, you're going to feel that spontaneity to just step in the river of God and just start to worship in God. That's spontaneous worship. But then there's times where you have to start it. And then heaven will join in. And then there's times where heaven starts it and you pick it up and start doing it.
You know what's coming to my mind as you're sharing this right now, Rennie, is in Matthew 25, it talks about the virgins. The wise had their own oil, and the foolish wanted to get the oil from the wise. In effect, if you worship, you're filled with oil. But if someone just before the rapture comes and knocks on your door and says, give me some of your oil, it doesn't work that way, does it? Each has to worship God for themselves.
Yes. We've got to get into the presence of God on our own worship, not somebody else's. Worship is personal, but yet corporate. And I mean, you can experience the same glory of God. Hallelujah.
Now, what about soaking? How does that fit into your worship?
Waiting before the Lord. I mean, that's something that I say to people, just waiting before the Lord. When you wait before the Lord, your spirit is still before him. And when your spirit is still, really, you're really exercising a spiritual discipline because you're not running ahead. You're not, you know, you're just taking your time. And sometimes, see, that's what God actually wants us to do. He wants us to stop, pause, think, and rejoice, and literally be still and know. So to know is in the stillness.
So when you're saying being still, this is something I do. Tell me if this is what you mean. I listen to very anointed soaking, what I call soaking music, and I am just as still as I can be before the Lord. Is that what you're saying?
That's one way of how you can do it. You can do that, you know, because...
What's another way?
Let me say to you another way. What steals somebody else might not steal you. Because, you know, it's like what you said, everybody is in it. That's where we're all different. For example, with me, I love music, and then there's times the last thing I need to hear is music. Because sometimes no music that you know literally has the sound of what you're hearing. And, you know, it doesn't make you still before God. And so that's why there's that time. That's why I say, you know, there's the worship without music where you can be still and just know. And then there's times where music is really an aid. It's really an aid of worship. It's never to take the place of your worship. because God prefers your voice over the sound of the instruments. And so, you know, yeah, both of them are right. You can do them both. You know, nothing wrong with that.
You said it's a discipline. How much time, and I hate to put it on this basis, but I'm very pragmatic, Rennie. How much time should someone take to worship?
Can I tell you the truth? I'm going to surprise you when I say this. I don't even so much think it's a time. I really don't. The reason why I say that, because I don't think it takes you that long to get there.
But you are instantly in the, I would assume, when you just open your mouth and start, you're instantly in the glory. But most, it'll take a while to get into the glory.
Because it's a progression of your faith and it's a progression of your revelation. Because worship is a, because, let me say this to you, worship provokes God to reveal himself. And so as we're worshiping, he reveals. And as he reveals, worshiping becomes easier and the flow becomes completely different. So, you know, I would recommend that to people, Brother Sid, that people really just begin to do that. And after a while, what's hard will become easy. What's high will be made low. I recommend that to people.
What happens to people as they worship, as their faith grows, as they get into, they'll get to a point, and I know this, where the glory of God will flood their living room or wherever they're praying. When that occurs, what should they do? Or should they do nothing? What's happening to them? What will happen to them?
There's time. Oh, so let me tell you what I've just heard in the spirit. There's times where when people just do that, they're going to have a visitation. You know, a visitation in 9 times out of 10 is likely. It's just a visitation. You worship him and you begin to see him. That's one of the things that I teach on, is that worship is the realm of the sea. Worship is a seeing realm, because the glory realm is a seeing realm. You'll see visions. You'll see the Lord. You'll see angels. You'll see heaven. You'll also see things to come, because that's the glory of God.
Speaking of seeing things to come, tell me what happened in Portland recently.
I was in Portland, Oregon, and we had 2 very, very, very powerful sessions. And I don't say it lightly, because I know today everything is powerful, but this was really unique. It was very powerful, because I wouldn't say I prepared it, because, you know, most of the times we prepare a sermon, but I don't believe you prepare a revelation, because you flow in the stream of it. And the first night, you know, God really did surgery on our minds. He expanded our minds. He got stuff out of our heads that would prepare us for our tomorrow. And so the second night came, and the second night the Lord said to me to speak on prophecy from a kingdom perspective. Now, in most cases, Brother Sid, prophecy is spoken outside of a kingdom concept. And so the mentality that the church has is that it will get worse and not better. Well, the truth of it is, it's going to get worse for a certain group of people. But for a certain group of people, it's going to get a whole lot better.
Well, you know what people are writing me now? They're telling me that as they are soaking, as they are worshiping God, they're getting downloads of inventions.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's. I think there's a wealth transfer going on planet Earth right now.
There is a wealth transfer. Let me tell you something. There is a wealth transference going on, and I'll tell you the reason why I believe it's going on. Because we are at the time frame where I believe that what we have seen in measure, God is going to begin to release the fullness of. And when I was there in Portland the second night, the glory of the Lord came on me, and the Lord said to me, Rennie, I want you to speak on the end times from the kingdom perspective. Not just from a prophetic perspective. Now, almost the nature of most people who speak prophecy from a prophetic perspective is that there's no kingdom in what they're saying. Now, let me tell you something. The kingdom of God isn't going anywhere. The kingdom of God is here to stay. In fact, if you listen to the pattern of the Our Father prayer, heaven is on a collision course with earth. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, yes, there is great things to come. There are some things to come forth that the earth has never seen before. That's because of what God said. But one of the major things the Lord said, what came out of my mouth when I was up there, was this. The Lord said to us that one of the signs of how close we are to the thing that's about to break loose is that there is going to be a major currency war. It's going to be the battle of the currencies. Now, I remember because, before we immigrated to Dallas, Texas, where God lives, we lived in London, England. And we remember years...
Wait a second now. Georgia has a lot of God, too, but go ahead. You Texans, I don't know.
But I tell you, Sid, what happens is what's strange. Do you know, Sid, that I remember in the 80s in London, they were talking about England coming into the EU, and there was a changing of our currency, and that was from the 80s. And it's only when the 90s hit, but a lot of Europe now is now in the euro. And so Europe has literally become a whole state to itself now. If you have a British passport now, you're not just a member of Britain now. You're literally a member of the European Union. You can travel anywhere in Europe literally without a passport. So that tells you what we've been reading. It's happening before our very eyes.
So what's going to happen to the U.S. dollar? Was that part of the word you had?
The U.S. dollar is going to crumble. And I'm not just saying it to scare people. The U.S. dollar is going to crumble. It is going to change. It is going to change. It is going to change. And, I mean, there's so much of it we went into. But the major war is going to be over currency. Now, when you follow that trend of thought clearly in the spirit, whoever controls the currency, what else do you control?
You control everything.
Exactly. Now, the Lord just shared that with me. Now, I don't have a date on it, but I know that it is not too long from now. It can be like what we were talking about before the show, Sid. It can be 3 weeks from now, or it can be 3 years from now. But I'm telling
you. Whoops, we're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast, but we're making available his two CDs, The Glory of God Through Worship and Matter Doesn't Matter. I tell you, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to the economy. You're going to be the head and not the tail. Both CDs available for a gift of $25. To hear this week's interview in its entirety or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-21, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.